for anything that we have done, but because of what you've done, because you have bought us and you hold us fast. You will never let us go. We're not even possible. We're not even able to do anything to bring ourselves outside of your saving love. So we praise you for that. We revel in that this morning. We honor you as such a strong Savior, such a beautiful Lord. So give us eyes to hear, ears to hear, eyes to see this morning as your word is preached. Amen. You remain standing for the reading of God's word.
Luke chapter 11, verse 6. I'm going to ask you to read along with me up front. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you today to open up our eyes to the truth in your word. God, we ask that you would draw us close to you and you would reveal again who you are and who we are in Christ. I pray, Lord, for your anointing to preach this service. God, you know what each person needs to hear from you, Lord. And I pray that whatever, that you would bring forth the truth in your word. And God, anything that is of my flesh, would you cause it to fall on deaf ears? But I pray, Lord, that you would move me by your spirit even as I preach this service. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Any first-time fathers, this is your first Father's Day. Tony! Oh, yeah! There's something about your first Father's Day, amen? Some of you that have teenagers going, yeah, it was special. Your first Father's Day was special, whatever you think. So happy Father's Day, all you papas. Well, we're continuing on in prayer, and one of the things that's necessary for prayer is faith. And when you look at this, you realize that all people live by a measure of faith. Everybody does. When you go take a drink out of a water fountain in public, you're assuming what? That's safe water to drink, right? You're assuming that. You go to the doctor. How do you know he went to school to become a doctor? Have you ever asked him? I've never asked my doctors. I kind of hope. So there's a measure of faith even in that, that somebody did their job years ago, made sure this man or woman went to school and was properly trained to become a doctor. We hop on the internet and we do a search and we assume by faith that what we read is true. Most of the time, kind of, sort of. Or the line, or whatever we think lines up with what we want it to say is true, right? So we accept that by faith, and the other stuff is wrong. See, so everybody everywhere lives by a measure of faith. And it's a constant thing. You sat in a chair today. You were believing that chair would hold you up. There was a measure of faith in that. You're going to go outside, you're going to get in your car, and you're going to go home. And when you turn the key, you believing what's going to happen. Your car's going to start. There's a measure of faith in that. There's a measure of faith. Faith is necessary in the Christian life. And I'm going to try to define what biblical faith is. Biblical faith is confident trust that God is who he says he is, and he can and will do what he promises he will do. That's biblical faith. God is who he says he is, and he can and will do what he promises he'll do. Take a look at God's word. Again, we're going to Hebrews chapter 11. I would encourage you, when you get home, to read the entire chapter 11. It's an incredible, it's called Chapter of Faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for. And if you read the next verse, it talks about we believe that God created everything that we see out of nothing. And so it's talking about faith. So there's a creator. This God is there, and he created everything that we see. And then it goes on. We look at verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there has to be faith. What is that measure of faith? For whoever would draw near God must believe he exists. So God is who he says he is. God exists. And that he rewards those who seek him. There's a response to those who seek him, that God is going to respond with blessings to those who seek him. So we see this picture of faith in the Word of God. And when we look at our Christianity, it begins with a measure of faith, and it continues in faith. When we look at it, there is minimal faith, and I'm going to use, you'll hear me use words interchangeably here, because I think faith is one of those difficult words to get our heads around sometimes. So I'm going to use the word trust. Biblical trust, biblical belief. You know, when we look at faith, we say that the opposite of faith is unbelief. So that would mean that faith is belief. Trust, faith. When we look at salvation, there's a minimal degree of faith or trust that leads to salvation. What are we believing in? We're believing in what I said earlier, that there is a God. He is ruling and reigning. He is holy, without sin. And he is just. We believe those things by faith. And God moves us. And all of a sudden these things become truth. They're not just stories. They're reality. That yes, God is holy. He's just. And I'm a sinner, separated from God. Okay? We know that. It doesn't take rocket science to believe that. Anybody usually embraces that. And then we realize that that sin has separated us from God. And now the faith comes in. That Jesus, fully God, came to this earth and lived a sinless life. It was without sin in thought, word, or deed. And then he went to the cross and was punished for the sins of all believers because God is just. He couldn't just take our sins and push them aside. So God then punished Christ for the sins that we've committed if we're a believer today. And then what happens is here's that step of faith, that if you believe that, if you would believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you would be saved. That's that level of faith. We don't know it all. We weren't there when Christ died. We're believing what the Word of God says, so there's this measure of faith, this trust in God is who he says he is, holy and just, pure, and that Jesus died on the cross for those who would believe, and if you would receive that gift, then you would be saved. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's faith. So we look at that and we say, all right, that measure of faith is needed to come to Christ. But a Christian, once we are believers, needs to pray with faith, to walk in faith. But it's not the amount of faith that's really important, but the fact that there is faith present that's important. And as we study the Word of God, even the smallest amount of faith, back then they believed the smallest seed there was the mustard seed. So even the smallest amount of faith, as we put it in Christ, what would happen was we would witness amazing things. That experience or reason or probability would deny. Take a look at God's word again. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. The Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We get uncomfortable with this whole conversation of faith, I think, at times. We want everything measured. This was when Jesus had cursed a tree, remember that? And they walked past it the next day, and one of the disciples said, oh, look at that, the tree that you cursed. It's dead. And Jesus' response was this. Now we look at Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Boy, that kind of shakes us up, doesn't it? Is this a name it, claim it message, Dan? You'll have to sit through the whole thing and listen. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So anything we ask, we get, right? That's not what it says. Have faith in God. The focus is God. And when we have faith in God and we focus on the Lord, then we desire what He desires. And so our prayer requests change. But one of the things that I think is hard for us to get our heads around is this. Jesus said a mountain can move if that's the revealed will of God. Do you really believe that? That's what Jesus was saying. You will say to this, you will speak to this bush or whatever, that if God reveals His will, it can happen. It can happen. We become uncomfortable with that. Why? What are some of our struggles with really believing this? I think this is that maybe we have less faith in areas of great knowledge or familiarity. Let me give you some examples. I think, personally, it is more difficult for maybe a doctor to pray for a physical healing for someone. Because when they say this is such and such type of cancer, I don't know what that means. Well, that's a really aggressive. Okay, I've heard this. That's an aggressive cancer. I don't know what that means. I mean, if I run, it's faster moving. But you see, doctors understand that. They look at that. And so now we're going to ask God to heal that person. And I'm not saying that God heals all the sick. I'm just trying to give you an example here that it's hard for a doctor, I think, to believe that. It's hard to get your head around that. I think it's more difficult for somebody who does marriage counseling to believe that God will work a miracle in a restoring a marriage. Why? Because their experience shows that it doesn't work out a whole lot of times. So what happens is, I think at times, we have knowledge in areas that gets in the way of us trusting God to do a miracle in that situation. I'm a mechanic, part-time, and I'll never forget a time. Those of you that know me go, no, he thinks he is. Let him live in his delusion. But you know, I could say certain things, and I'm going to say something that some of you will get and some of you won't. There was, and this is a true situation, that we used to go out and play football after the Packer games all the time, and there was one particular week that we were playing football, and we played all year long, and we happened to be playing in about 6 inches of snow that day. We got done, it was really cold, and we tried to get this old car started. This guy went over there and he started up. Now, this has an old carburetor, not fuel injection. Some of you right now are lost. Okay, and that carburetor wouldn't start. He flooded the engine. Okay, again, some of you are going, okay, right? So now those of you that know what I'm talking about are going, oh, this is a bad situation. And we turned that thing. It was flooded. The battery was wore down. And the guy who was driving the car was not a believer. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to ask God to do a miracle here. And I said, you know what? We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to start this car for you. And so we had the hood opened up already, and I looked over at my buddy, and I climbed under the hood, and I said, we need to pray right now. I told him God was going to start the car. And so me and my buddy are under the hood of this car, and I said, oh, God, would you just do a miracle of testimony to this? Now, see, again, if you don't know cars, you're thinking, big deal, so the car started. But what happened is we prayed, and my buddy looked at me, and I thought, boy, I'm in really trouble here. So all of a sudden, when I said, go ahead, turn the key, it'll start now, and he turn that key, and it fired up like that. And we normally, you got to leave it, wait, what, a half hour for everything to go? It doesn't start. When it's flooded, it's flooded. We didn't give him any time. And the car fired up, and I looked over at my buddy, and my eyes must have been about this big. And his too. And we went, oh, whoa. Why was that a struggle? Why was that? Because, you see, I knew it shouldn't have done that. Why? Because I had knowledge there. Sometimes that knowledge that gets in the way of our faith is familiarity, especially when it comes to family members. Oh, you don't understand my Uncle Dan. He's rejected God for 60 years. He's preached the gospel. He's not going to come to Jesus. Oh, you don't understand, Dan. If you knew this situation, you'd realize that's not going to happen. Really? Really? I struggle with that. I have a big God. And so many times I find my faith is weakened because I try to figure out how God's going to do it, and all I see is the impossibility of it all. You see, so many times I think that's what gets in the way of faith. Well, you don't understand my dad. You don't understand my child. You don't understand the situation I'm in. I'm 60 years old. I just lost my job. Nobody wants to hire a 60-year-old. Well, is there a big God seated in the highest place who determines what he's going to do in your life? Then pray and ask. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, is there a prayer you stopped praying? Maybe that's an area where your faith is weak. Maybe that's one of those areas where God revealed 2 weeks ago when we said, did you stop praying that prayer? Maybe that's an area where your faith is weak, is small. And God's calling you to say, would you trust and hope in me? There's nothing, nothing impossible for me. He starts out that chapter 11 with, this is what faith is. And then he says, I created everything out of nothing. And he goes on and he says, and oh, by the way, there was this guy named Noah, and there was a guy named Abraham, and there was this guy named such and such, and there was this woman named so and so. And he goes on and on and on, and he establishes who he is in the beginning of that chapter and what he had done. And everything that you read after that, it just makes no sense. In the natural, it was impossible. It was impossible. Build an ark. Believe that you're going to be the father of a nation when you're 90 years old and your body is dried up. Those are impossible things, except for our God. What happens is that so much of our faith is circumstantial. It's grounded on what we see and what we experience. And that kind of faith is fragile. But that's what we base a lot of our faith in. Now, I want to say that we should not be ignorant of the obstacles. I think that that's so many times, is that what you're saying? Just forget it. Don't look at it. No, I don't think that's realistic. We aren't to be ignorant of the obstacles that are there, but we must somehow, by God's grace, disregard them and believe God's promises. That's a key. Remember, we're not saying whatever we want. We're saying, talking about God's promises and God's will. So we must be able to disregard the obstacles and believe God's promises and walk by faith. Again, we're going to go back to the Word of God. Take a look at these verses. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. In hope, he's talking about Abraham here, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. Okay? As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. He knew how old he was. He saw the obstacles. He wasn't ignoring the obstacles. He knew it. Which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. This can't happen. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. It wasn't just him. I love that part. Or the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So it's not just, he's not just looking at the circumstances in his own life. He's saying the exterior circumstances also don't add up. I have to hope against hope because my body can't do it and her body can't do it. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. Wow. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Wow. He wasn't ignoring the obstacles, but he believed God above them. He trusted God. God made a promise to him, and he stood on that promise, and he wasn't going to let go of it. And it didn't matter what was happening on the outside. It made no difference. He said, I get it. I understand. You think of all the harassment that Noah had. You're going to what? Build a boat? We don't even know if it rained to that point. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Do we walk by faith? Do you walk by faith? God, I trust you. I believe the promise is in your word. I'm asking you to teach me how to pray with faith, Lord. The thing we're talking about here is a spiritual vision where science and evidence take a secondary role to God's promises and his revealed will. We just keep praying. We keep trusting God. He's the one. We're going to pray with confidence. Lord, I know that you love me. I know who you are. And we pray with confidence. And here's the thing that I've learned over time is that we have different degrees of faith. There's some people that can pray about things. I think it's because God has brought them through some difficult things or whatever. And it seems like some people have great faith in certain areas and less in others. I know that's true in my life. You know, I can pray for financial miracles for people because, you know, I've seen God's provision through all the years when we had nothing and he always met our needs. And so when somebody talks to me and says, I don't know how we're going to do it, hey, let's pray. I'm ready to go. We talked a couple of weeks, you know, a while back about how I had prayed, how I was praying for people to be healed, and miraculously some people got healed. But then there was a long time where people didn't. My faith was low. And then God did this miracle in spite of my lack of faith. And what did it do? It boosted me. So I believe that that we each have greater and lesser faith in different areas. And this is where I see the beauty of the diversity of the body of Christ. Because you know what? I want to pray with people that can help me in my weakness. Don't you? And if I know that this person, boy, I love to listen to them pray. They have so much faith when they pray. They've walked in these waters and they're still trusting in the Lord. I want them to pray for me in that area. Why? Because their faith is great. You know, I think of Billy Graham praying for his son who had been off the rails for years and years and years and years. And he prayed, and then his son came back to Christ. Franklin. You know what? Who wouldn't with what I'm about to say? I want to ask Billy to pray for me and for my family if my son or my daughter is wayward. Why? Because he walked through it. And he would say, amen, I know that that can happen. You know why? Because it happened in my life. God was faithful. So you see, part of the beauty of the diversity of the body of Christ and why we so desperately need each other is that we have these different levels of faith in different areas. And we can go to each other and say, would you please pray with me and for me? I need you. That requires humility. That requires vulnerability to be able to say, hey, I need you. This is what it's about, the body. So would you please pray for me and with me? I have people that are praying for a situation in my family. And it's the same situation there. And so when I pray for my situation, I also pray for theirs because I go, it's the same thing. And so we're praying for each other. That's part of the beauty of the body of Christ. Because there are different degrees of faith. Take a look at God's word again. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He's going to take care of you. How can I say that? Because that's a promise. I think we have a struggle between wants and needs, but that's a whole different sermon. But you see, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. Oh, you have little faith. Then we go on in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. In Mark chapter 9, verse 22 through 24, we keep coming back to this verse. This is where the man came and his son was demon-possessed, and he'd throw himself into the fire and try to kill himself, and his response was, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So he's speaking to Jesus, okay? And he's saying, and Jesus said to him, if I can? Do you know who I'm talking to? You know what? Isn't that the way we are so many times in our prayer, the way we approach God? It's almost like, God, do you think you might be able to do something here? And he's like, what then? You think if I can? Of course I can, Dan. Now, is it his will? That's a different story. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But again, if I can, but the way we approach God is almost like he can't. And he goes on, if I can, all things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. I have a measure of faith. Help my unbelief. Jesus, would you help me to increase my faith, my trust in you? I have a little bit. It's not much. But would you please help me? Increase my faith, Jesus. Increase my trust in you that I can believe that you are really who you say you are and that you can and will do what you promise you will do. Help me believe that. I struggle with that. And finally, in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right. Because what? Your faith is growing abundantly. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. I think they're tied together in a way. We encourage each other. So we see that there are different measures of faith and that they can increase as God would call us to trust and hope in him. One of the ways that our faith can increase, as I said earlier, is we can hear others praying with faith. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest lessons I learned is this in the prayer room when it comes to faith, I think. You know, we have a tendency to pray all or nothing prayers that are hard to see. Hard to see the end. Lord, save so-and-so. Okay, God, grant salvation to this person. And it's really easy to determine whether they did or they didn't. Well, generally speaking. And what I learned in the prayer room as these people were praying is I heard something that I had not heard before. And they were praying like this. They were saying, God, would you bring so-and-so one step closer to salvation? Would you draw them to yourself? God, would you do this miracle? You see, they could pray with great faith because they were trusting that God would draw the lost to himself, because that's what the Word of God says. And they were asking God to do that. Would you draw them to yourself? And so they could pray with faith because instead of praying all or nothing prayers, they were asking God to work incrementally in this person's life. And so they seemed to have more faith as they prayed. Because you know what? Yeah, I believe God drew them closer. How? I don't know. Are they saved yet? No, but I'm trusting that God's drawing them. You see, there was this sense that they could pray and ask God to do this miracle. And their faith was great. It was incredible as I listened to them pray. And we as believers, every Christian should desire our faith to increase, our trust and our hope in God to increase. We embrace that when it comes to salvation, but not so much in everyday life, not so much in provision, not so much in little things. And that's something that we need to become more and more accustomed to, trusting God in the little things. asking him for the little tiny things that don't seem to be much, but he can display his glory in them. Trusting him, hoping in him. To increase our faith in prayer, we need to know God better. That's really what it comes down to. Knowing God better. Knowing his word better. Because faith increases how? How does your faith increase in somebody that you work with or your spouse or whoever? Faith increases as you get to know those people better and better, and you see within them a pattern that they are able and will do what they say they're going to do. Right? You trust them. Your faith grows as you get to know them and as you see a pattern that warrants trust. So if we want to grow in our faith towards God, we must know him in a greater measure. And when we know him in a greater measure, we will see how faithful he is. Again, let's take a look at God's word. Romans chapter 10. So faith, how does it come? From hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If our faith is small in areas, is weak in areas, then we go to the word, because the word proclaims Christ from beginning to end. It tells us who he is. It shows us his character, how trustworthy he is, how omnipotent he is, how faithful he is. Over and over and over again, we just see in the scripture Christ and who our God is. So if we want to grow in faith, we open up the word of God and we ask him, Lord, would you reveal yourself in this word? Show me who you are. Other ways is we can look at history. We can see God providing for his people over and over again. We can see God in all his greatness throughout history. Personal testimonies of others. That's why what we want to do here more and more at La Crescent Free is have testimonies like Joel this morning. Why? It encourages us. It builds up our faith. You'll hear something in a testimony and go, oh, that's something that I've been struggling with. You mean God, you did that in his life? Maybe you'll do that in mine. You see, we start hearing these testimonies of God and his greatness, the proclamation of Christ and what he is doing in our lives. And we hear that and it encourages our faith. That's why we want to do it more up front. If you have something where God is working in your life, you know, an answer to prayer or what, just anything that you feel strongly that maybe the body of Christ here needs to listen to hear, send me an email. We're not guaranteeing you that you'll come up front, but we want to have more testimonies so that we can proclaim the greatness of our God. And in so doing, as we hear those things, our faith is built up, is encouraged. Why? Because of that person? No, because of who God is. And so we want to hear those testimonies. And this is the way that we can grow in our faith. And obviously, through our own walk, sometimes we got to stop and we got to think. You know, the enemy comes in like a flood, and he accuses God of not being faithful. He accuses God of not being powerful, and he will remind you of all the times that, from his perspective and maybe even yours, you think God has failed. God never fails. Sometimes we need to think back and remember God. You know, that's why throughout the whole Old Testament, they did things to remember what God had done. Pile up these rocks on this side of this river. Take them from the middle of the river and put them on the side. Why? Because people are going to forget. We forget what God has done for us. And the purpose was is that as people would walk past those rocks, that pile of rocks, in the generations to come, they'd say, hey, Dad, what's that? And Dad would say, that's where God did this. Sometimes what we need to do is we need to go back and remember the goodness of God in our lives to increase our faith today. Oh, that's right, God. That's right, Lord. I forgot that. And ask him to remind you. Sometimes we ask with very little faith, because we don't believe we deserve the answers. We don't deserve God's blessing. We believe God is who he says he is. He's all powerful. He's almighty. We believe that he can and will do what he promises. He'll just not do it for me. Because, fill in the blank. Because I'm struggling with this sin. So why would God bless me? Because I didn't do whatever. So why would God bless me? You see, we believe we're saved by grace, but so many times we fall back into his blessings because of our works. If I just perform for God, then I deserve his blessings. We wouldn't ever say that, but really that's how we live. That's how we act. If I do this, then God will bless me. But I'm not. So why would God honor his word to me? Because I have fallen so far short. I don't deserve that. Brothers and sisters, it has never been about our worthiness. It never is. It's not about our worthiness or our works. It's not about that. It never has been about that. It's always been about God's grace to us and his sufficiency for us in Christ. It's always about Jesus. Let's take a look at God's word again. 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. I am who I am, Dan. I've made promises in my word to you. And I will be faithful to my word because that's who I am. Will you trust me, Dan? But God, will you trust me? Will you hope in me? Because I am who I am, Dan. And I will be faithful because that's who I am. And in John 15, 7 through 8, Jesus obviously speaking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. If you're abiding in Jesus, you'll know what to ask for. You'll ask according to his word and according to his will. And he says, then believe you receive it. Because this is my will. It's not about your qualifications, Dan. It's not whether you think you deserve it or earned it or whatever. It's about me, Dan. It's about me. And what does that do when we pray and ask in faith? It glorifies God. Because we start growing in our faith, and that brings glory to God. We see the fruit. And in Hebrews 11, as we read before, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. We're good with that. I would say the vast majority of people in this room believe that. I think here's where we struggle, though. And that he rewards those who seek him. Do you really believe that? Because God's word says that about you. Do you really believe that he rewards those who seek him? That when you ask for holiness, he will grant it. When you ask for increased faith, he'll give that. When you ask for patience, he's going to work that in your life and the fruit of the Spirit. Do you really believe that? Because it says that if we believe he exists and that he rewards those who seek him, that he's going to do those things. Brothers and sisters, when our faith fails, and it will, there's times when our faith gets weak because we're overwhelmed by the flood of whatever it might be. And that's part of the reason we desperately need the body of Christ. When our faith fails, understand that God will not stop working on your behalf. And here's why. Because the nature of biblical faith is rooted in who God is. The nature of biblical faith is rooted in who God is and who we are in Christ. That's biblical faith. It's not working up something. It's hoping and trusting in our Savior and seeing who he is and believing all that the Word says about him and the promises he has for us. It's not great faith that is required. Over and over, we see that in the Word of God. It is not great faith that is required, but rather faith in a great God, in a loving God, in a compassionate God, in a faithful God. That's the key. That's biblical faith. It's about God. It's about Christ. It's not about us gutting something up and trying to emotionally convince ourselves. It's hoping in Christ, believing in our God, and embracing His Word and all the truths in it, and what it says about us and who we are in Christ. You see, it's the power of God, not faith, that moves the mountains. It's the power of God, not our faith, that moves mountains, if that's what God reveals. Brothers and sisters, faith is a gift from God. I mean, when you came to believe, that was a gift. It was God's grace that you had the faith to believe. It didn't stop there. It continues on, that our faith, as we trust in more and more in the Word of God and all that He promises, as He increases that, that's a gift from Him. So let's ask Him to increase our faith. God, help me believe. I believe, help my unbelief, please, Lord. Yeah, I believe for this, but I'm struggling to believe for this, Lord. Help my unbelief. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my believing in who You are. And brothers and sisters, pray with confident trust. That's faith. Pray with confident trust that God is who He says He is throughout the whole of His Word. Trust that He says who He is and that He can and will do for you what He promises He will do. Those promises aren't for somebody else. If you're a believer, they're for you, all of them. So would you embrace that? And if you know you're struggling in that area, then confess and repent and ask God to increase your faith. That is a prayer He delights to honor. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before You in awe. Lord, there's areas where Your goodness, You've just granted us faith in certain areas of our life. And other areas where it's so small, but it's there because of You. We're asking You, God, that You would open up our eyes to understand at a greater depth who You are. That these obstacles that are before us, that are in the way of our faith, Lord, that we would trust in You and see who You are, and You'd wipe them away. And God, by Your grace and Your mercy, increase our faith so that You would be glorified. God, do this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.